Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, May 7th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Gandemiri.
Here are our top stories this evening.
The High Court grants Telecel Zimbabwe a provisional order allowing the company to continue operating following the cancellation of its license by the authorities last week.
The Mutare City Council offers to scrap half of its money it is owed by residents in a promotion seeking to encourage residents to pay outstanding bills going into millions of dollars.
The economic situation in Zimbabwe is difficult for an ordinary resident to be able to sustain within it. The residents of Mutare, they are now owing council close to about 25 million in unpaid water rates and supplementary charges.
And a new survey suggesting President Robert Mugabe still enjoys popular support in the country, as Zimbabweans talking with many differing with the findings.
A Harare High Court judge today granted cellular network operator Telecel Zimbabwe a provisional order allowing the company to continue operations in the country following the cancellation of its license by the authorities last week. Thomas Chiripasi has more details from the capital.
High Court Judge Nicholas Matonsi granted Telecel Zimbabwe an order allowing the cellular network giant to continue operations following the cancellation of its license by the Post and Telecommunications Regulatory Authority of Zimbabwe, or POTRAS. In granting the provisional order in his chambers, the judge also interdicted POTRAS from interfering in the operations of Telecel, one of the country's three mobile cellular network operators. Judge Matonsi said he would provide his reasons for granting the order in a full judgment. Some business people and Telecel subscribers have welcomed the court ruling. One such person is Norest Marara, who runs a freight and clearing business.
It's very welcome and good news, but you see, the problem with this country is we celebrate the things that we are not supposed to. In the first place, there was no need for the government to invoke their powers by cancelling the license in the first place.
Marara says POTRA's decision to cancel Telecel's license was misplaced in the first place because the government did not take into account the plight of hundreds of workers employed by the mobile operator.
So it rubbishes this talk of indigenization and empowerment, because we also understand that Telecel has got a sizable percentage of local investors or local shareholders. So those are obviously get affected. So it's welcome news.
Another Telecel subscriber, Martin Musevenzi, who runs a retail shop in Harare Central Business District, could not hide his joy following the granting of the court order.
Yeah, I think it's a good judgment, considering that we are used to the Telecel. Like, for instance, myself, I use a Telecel line and my clients know my number as a Telecel number. So migrating to another network, it would be a difficult thing.
The government says Telecel's license was cancelled because the company has failed to comply with the country's investment laws that require foreign-owned companies to cede at least 51% of their shareholding to black Zimbabweans. Telecel International has a 60% shareholding in Telecel Zimbabwe, while Empowerment Corporation holds a 40% stake in the company. ICT Minister Superman Wanzira could not be reached on his mobile phone following the ruling, while Telecel Zimbabwe spokesperson Francis Chimanda told Studio 7 that his company has decided not to discuss this issue with the media. Some critics have blamed the country's empowerment regulations for the lack of foreign direct investment. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
The Mutare City Council has offered to scrap 50% of debts owed by residents in rates and supplementary charges as it seeks to encourage the residents to pay their outstanding bills. Most residents have welcomed the move. Correspondent Lueda Moyo has the story.
In a circular and public notice to residents, the city council advised the residents that it would grant them a 50% discount on what they owe if the residents pay up their debts by May 31st. The local authority also notified residents that those who are paid up would be given a 2 months 50% discount on their monthly rates. The council is owed $25 million in unpaid rates by the struggling residents and businesses. Government departments in the city also owe the local authority huge sums of money. Mutare Mayor Councillor Tatenda Namarare hopes the promotion will help the local authority, which has not paid its workers in months, collect some revenues.
Well, on that issue, you see, the economic situation in Zimbabwe is difficult for an ordinary resident to be able to sustain within it. So we decided that the residents of Mutare, they are now owing council close to about $25 million. In unpaid water rates and supplementary charges to the local authority. So we decided to give them this promotion that if you pay half of what you owe, we'll be able to remove the remainder. With this move, we also aim to be able to collect of what these residents owe to the city of Mutare. Maybe if we manage to collect maybe a quarter of what they owe us, we'll be able to cover one or two issues that we are currently facing as problems within the city.
The promotion has so far had an overwhelming response from residents, with many trooping to the Civic Center, the city main offices, to verify what they owe as they prepare to pay up. The special offer has, however, attracted mixed reactions from residents. 60-year-old Nelia Maunganidze of Chikanga Sebab is skeptical of the move, but adds the move is a welcome development for many struggling residents.
If they are removing the debts is good, in good faith, it is good. But if they want to trick us, that is bad.
Another Mutare resident, Ms. Kudzanem Zandaki, is happy that as a paid-up resident, she will enjoy the 2 months 50% discount.
It is good for us
as we were paid up, and now we will be paying half the monthly rates for the next 2 months.
But for Friday Mangreni of Morningside, the move is unprogressive. He says it promotes a bad attitude in which people refuse to honor their debts even when they can afford.
Council's decision is controversial because it's actually enticing and encouraging residents of Mutare not to own up to their bills. If you make a comparative analysis of a person who owes council $100, which means he's going to be paying $50, and also a person who owes council $5,000 is going to be waived at $2,500, which is a very huge chunk of money which cannot just be removed arbitrarily. So this move is quite controversial. I don't think our city fathers have put a reasonable thought into this.
Meanwhile, the Mutare mayor has denied word during the rounds that the council intends to install prepaid water meters in residential areas. Mr. Namarare says the prepaid water meters will only be installed in commercial and business areas. The issue of installing prepaid water meters in residential areas raised the storm a fortnight ago when residents vowed to fight the local authority if it introduced their water meters. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mutare, this is Lueda Moyo.
A new survey by Afrobarometer, a South African-based think tank, suggesting President Robert Mugabe still enjoys popular support in the country, has stirred controversy in and outside the country, setting social media sites on fire as Zimbabweans differ on its findings. The survey, conducted on the ground by the Mass Public Opinion Institute, OMPOI, found that 63% of those polled have, quote, somewhat a lot of trust in President Mugabe and a number of state institutions like the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission. The majority of those polled also have trust in religious leaders, the army, the country's courts of law, and traditional leaders. The survey found most of those polled did not trust opposition parties in the country.
Here's a snapshot of some comments taken from social websites. Brian wrote, he is popular, he is charismatic. Why is Zimbabwe getting poorer every day?
Wembavu wrote, "I wonder whether this survey was carried in Zimbabwe. Go into the streets of Harare today or any town in particular, including the rural areas. If you are to throw a stone, the chances of you hitting an MDCT supporter are 80%. This clearly makes me doubt the results of this survey."
Mangwende wrote, "The name Robert Mugabe is a brand as correctly highlighted, and people can like that position or dislike it, but even the Westerners know it. This is even evidenced by why he is the current chairperson for Africa and SADC."
And Moyo said, "People respect President Mugabe's contribution in the liberation struggle. He is consistent, whether you agree with him or not. There's also a feeling that he is sometimes let down by his team."
But the Mass Public Opinion Institute's principal researcher, Stephen Ndoma, is defending their findings.
"This was basically a national survey which we had. It was conducted in the country's 10 administrative provinces. For information, all respondents were randomly selected, and the sample was distributed across provinces and urban or rural areas in proportion to their share in the national population. So every adult citizen that is 18 and above years old had an equal chance of being selected for the interviews. So we basically used face-to-face interviews in the language of the respondent's choice. And our sample size, for information, was 2,400 adult citizens.
But some are raising concern with your report, especially concerning the popularity of Mr. Mugabe, saying the community, according to them, is allegedly a terrorized community because of the violence.
Remember when we did this survey, it was November 2014, that is from 16 to 29 November 2014. And basically, I can say that the political climate was conducive for us to hold the survey of such a nature. There were no incidents of violence then, be it inter-political violence, and most parts of the country were accessible. And our field researchers carried out the exercise without any problems.
Mass Public Opinion Institute principal researcher Stephen Ndoma speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
About 1,000 members of civil society groups in Bulawayo staged a protest today against the remarks made by President Mugabe that the Kalanga people were not educated enough to get jobs in South Africa and were therefore resorting to crime in that country. Organizers included the Bulawayo Agenda, Women of Zimbabwe Arise, OWOZA, and the National Youth Development Trust. The outrage against Mr. Mugabe's remarks continues despite damage control efforts by Information Minister Jonathan Moyo, who explained on Monday that the president was merely stating a pre-colonial stereotype and not his current thinking. Protesters handed a petition to government officials at Mhlahlandlela, demanding a retraction from Mr. Mugabe, among other things. They also petitioned the Human Rights Commission to investigate his remarks and determine whether they reflect government policy. Studio 7 reporter Ntungamili Nkomo reached Bulawayo Agenda boss Meli Dube.
He petitioned them to investigate the conduct of the president, as it is scandalously flout the constitution when a president discriminates against a certain tribe or a certain people, like his words, which he said to the Kalangas when he described them as criminals and thieves who do not have enough education. We are saying that that may be a reflection of the government philosophy, which might have influenced the thinking behind policies and program implementation and even attitudes of public institutions in various parts of Matabeleland. We also are calling to the commission to go and investigate in those areas where the Kalanga people are situated and ascertain how much of that philosophy has influenced how government has acted, because we realize that it is not only in vain. What he said is somewhat reflective of the prevailing situation. Kalanga people are, and Ndebeles in general in this part of the country, are just necessarily not educated because infrastructure was destroyed during Gukura Hundi.
But the Minister of Information, Jonathan Moyo, has sought to clarify Mr. Mugabe's remark, saying that he was merely stating a pre-colonial stereotype.
No amount of cheap politicking, if I may say, can sanitize what the president said on 29 April. I think the president himself should be allowed an opportunity to swallow his pride and apologize directly to the people that he insulted, and his government should just go beyond cheap statements and demonstrate their commitment to restoring the right to the development for the Kalanga people and the people in Makedonia in general.
And that was Bulawayo Agenda boss Meli Dube on the line with Studio 7's Ntunga Milinkomo from Bulawayo.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
analysts discuss the latest Mpoi Afro Barometer survey saying President Mugabe's popularity is growing.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
U.S. and Saudi officials have agreed to pursue a humanitarian pause in Yemen, where fighting by Shia Houthi rebels has forced thousands of people to flee the country.
A fresh political violence in Burundi has left one person dead and at least three others wounded as demonstrators continue against President Pierre Nkurunziza's decision to run for a third term. And British voters went to the polls today for a parliamentary election that opinion polls show is too close to predict. Results of a national survey yesterday showed Prime Minister David Cameron's Conservative Party with support from 33% of British voters. Ed Miliband's main opposition Labour Party was just 1 point behind. Zimbabwean Joshua Muromo Chigwangwa is participating in the elections as a candidate for the Labour Party. Chigwangwa wants to represent the Pangshea ward as a councillor in the Welwyn Hatfield Borough. We spoke with Studio 7 earlier on.
Quite an exciting moment. I've been out there meeting voters, getting into the polling station, looking at statistics of how people are voting. There's a lot of excitement. I think there's high voter turnout this election time because by 10 o'clock, 10% had voted. By 2 o'clock, 25 had voted in my area. And people were still coming in and they closed at 10 p.m. So no project out. Voting might actually come to 60%.
You are a black man living in an area dominated by white, and we understand that blacks there are less than 2%. What made you think of competing?
I think it's more to do with the embracement I've received from the people in my community and my own values. I grew up in an environment where I was involved in development work and interacting a lot on political issues.
Zimbabwean Joshua Muromo Chigwangwa speaking with us from London earlier on.
As reported earlier, the finding of a new survey by Afrobarometer have divided opinions in the country, in particular where it states President Mugabe's popularity is surging as opposed to an opposition it says is waning. For perspective, reporter Tatenda Gumbo spoke with director Sidney Chisi of the Youth Initiative for Democracy and political analyst Charles Mangongera, a former Mass Public Opinion Institute employee.
it's not yet something that's become part of our political culture. Still very nascent in terms of being used as a tool to measure political opinion, but also to inform, you know, the crafting of public policy.
Mr. Chisi, if you can come in there.
The survey in itself was supposed to be contextualized, because if you say Zimbabweans in general, 74% of Zimbabweans have got so much trust in their religious leaders, does it mean that Zimbabwe's perceptions of party politics have died down and now they want the religious leadership to take over their political spaces? But also, one of the critical things that we are supposed to understand is that Zimbabwe in itself is going through a crisis. And one of the things that we are desperately in need of Zimbabweans is a solution. Whether that solution is supposed to be political, is supposed to be economic, or is supposed to be social.
Mr. Mangongera, if we have to unpack this survey looking at the context of Zimbabwe, then what is the relevance of a survey like this?
Well, I mean, that's a fundamental question that's been asked by political scientists and researchers themselves. The fact that is public opinion polling, what is the use and efficacy of public opinion polling in authoritarian context? Can it help you to understand that particular context? For instance, you know, the issue of fear, the results that you're going to get are obviously going to be influenced by that fear.
And Mr. Chisi, same question to you, but also focusing on the view that in some of the key findings from the Afrobarometer, they found that over two-thirds of adult Zimbabweans believe the level of corruption in Zimbabwe has increased over the past years. And they also give the government poor ratings on its fight against corruption. So we're looking at, in a political view, there's high ratings. But then when it comes to questions of what government is doing, there's a different sway from the audience itself.
Katenda, one of the issues that I have with these researching bodies is also the ability of ensuring that what exactly are they trying to extract from the people? Because it's undoubted that the issue of the socio-economic warfare of Zimbabwe is bad. I'm sure one of the fundamental realities that is there would be to sit down and see whether it fits within the body politic context realistically or not. Does it make Zimbabweans safe to express themselves or not? Because as we speak right now, if 70% of the rural communities are in favor of the current political scenario, how much of violence, how much of intimidation would be put into those rural communities to extract almost the similar kind of percentage come the time of elections?
And Mr. Mangongera, this survey sways against the opposition. What are the implications of this, if anything, even looking at the international view that comes from a survey such as this?
Well, I mean, that's an unfortunate manifestation of some of these findings, in that, you know, they tend to support the narrative, which obviously the government of the day is desperate to put out there, that, you know, ZANU-PF is on the rebound. The people are now, you know, overwhelmingly supportive of President Mugabe and his party. But I think that there are also poignant lessons for the opposition in Zimbabwe. Of course, we talked about the power of propaganda. We are talking about the fear factor and so forth. But we ought to understand that there is a significant proportion of that survey of people who actually believe and trust in ZANU-PF and who actually don't believe in the MDC and would question certain decisions and strategic options that the MDC has pursued.
And Mr. Chisi, I'll end here with you. Same question to you.
I'm sure one of the critical things, without undermining the statistics that are coming out of the report, is that there is a reality in terms of a demobilized Zimbabwe around opposition politics, but also the reality to say the opposition politics in itself might not have created any platform for it to be well trusted, because it is not in government, it is not putting anything. So it is also very critical for the opposition to find ways of getting back to the people and getting back to the people's trust.
And that was the director of the Youth Initiative for Democracy, Sydney Chisi, and Charles Mangongera, a political analyst and former employee of the Mass Public Opinion Institute. And they were speaking there with Tatenda Gumbo of Studio 7.
The South African Congress of Non-Profit Organizations, or SACONO, today convened an anti-xenophobia impizo to assess modalities of reintegrating foreigners who were recently attacked by locals for allegedly grabbing most jobs and venturing into lucrative businesses targeted by indigenous people. Sakono Secretary General Tinswalo Makubele says the imbizo, which was attended by Johannesburg Mayor Parks Tau and representatives of the Premier of Gauteng Province, resolved to start community programs promoting mutual existence between locals and foreigners. Makubele says the one-day meeting is part of a wider African agenda to boost the relations on the continent that is ravaged by political conflicts, hunger, poverty, and disease.
After the state of violence that broke out in our country, we decided to have a conversation with ourselves. We have an obligation to create a home that is going to welcome each and every one of the Black nation. We want to rebuild Kwame Nkrumah's dream when he said, uniting Africa and building the Africa we want, where he desires that there will be borderless, where there will be no visas, where there will be no issues of xenophobia, attack or violence and looting, where we will claim our gold mines, where we will claim our land.
Following this imbizo, do you think that people will unite?
Yes, people will unite because all the previous imbizos were called by government. All the previous meetings were called by the premiers, the mayors, the president. But this one has been called by the people for the people. And it is the people that are speaking.
That was Sakono Secretary General Tinswalo Makubele speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Johannesburg. Several organizations that attended the imbizo included UPONDO, an international social and communal network. Its representative, Sabelo Swanda, believes this is the best way to tackle xenophobia.
The people are aware that the issue primarily is economic and it's about poverty. It's not about hating other Africans. It's not about simply killing for the sake of killing. It's lashing out. They are more frustrated with the lack of response on the part of government to their issues.
Were there any resolutions?
Amongst the critical resolutions that have come out is that the people are saying government must come down. Where government here is a national government. And they've identified several departments which they feel should definitely come down and meet with the people. For instance, we have identified the department responsible with economic development so that small and medium enterprises can be groomed and given an ability to grow and also be active in as far as the national economy is concerned. They want Home Affairs to come to the ground and explain issues related to what exactly their work is.
Sabelo Swanda of UPONDO speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Johannesburg, South Africa.
Zimbabweans on Sunday celebrate Mother's Day, which traditionally, according to the United Kingdom calendar, is held on the fourth Sunday of Lent. But if they follow the American calendar, it's usually the second weekend of May. The origins of Mothering Sunday differ, but some say it was originally a time when people returned to the church in which they were baptized or they attended services when they were children. This meant that families were reunited as adults returned to the towns and villages where they grew up. Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye spoke with Gogo Imelda Muriro of Mondoro about Mother's Day and what she's expecting.
These days, mothers have got difficulties to correct their children. But as we were at the peace building also, we were given, you know, advices how to go about it. Because we said these children were given a jacket of being grown ups, of doing their own things, of, you know, of their own rights. They have their rights, but they have got also to keep our own customs. And therefore, to drive them to this. Now children these days are guided by televisions, these phones, the WhatsApps, and so on and so forth. When they go out, they meet people, they meet friends who teach them these things that are not quite in conformity with our customs. So you are advised that it's good for us to sit down with our kids, particularly the girls, and start by telling them the history of our family, where we came from and what we are and what all what we used to do and so on and so forth. We have to tell them our stories, hear the right stories. So when they hear these stories, they will want to hear more. And then we give them time and sit down with them, you know, telling them, not really reprimanding them, but
That was Gogo Imelda Muriro speaking to Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye from Mondoro.
Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts, Praxidus Jeremiah and Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, will lead discussion on the upcoming Mother's Day weekend.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Chris Gande in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri, living in the responsible hands of Standikile Mhlanga and in Ntungame.